sir.
I said, can you hear me?
I heard you did.
Okay. A lot of these new hymnals that they have out at these new modern churches, and sometimes, most of the time, they don't even have hymnals. They just got a big screen up behind the pulpit there, or off to the side where people sing off of. But mostly anything written after the 1800s is not real scriptural. But that Stand Amazed in the Presence was written in 1905 by Charles H. Gabriel. It's pretty scriptural hymnal now. I like that. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory his face I shall last at sea, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Amen.
I don't care when it was written. I don't care if they wrote it last week. If they're scriptural, they're good songs. I want to give you a little testimony of Mr. Lonnie Craft passed, and I should call him Brother Lonnie Craft. He was always so full of carrying on, and always was carrying on something every time I ever saw him. But his son told me he took him fishing on Tuesday before he went into the hospital. That's how well he was doing before Tim took him to the hospital. And he told Tim, when we get there, if it's really bad, I don't want any chemo, I don't want no feeding tube. When the Lord takes me, he'll take me. And let that be it. So Tim said he spent the night with him one night, and he said he heard his daddy having a conversation. And Tim was sitting in the chair, a little piece away from him, and he said, Daddy, who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to Jesus. He said, well, what are you telling him? He said, I'm telling him who all I want to see when I get there. And he said he went to singing. Sung two or three different songs. I don't remember which ones. The last one he sung before he quit was, Oh, How I Love Jesus. A good testimony for Brother Lonnie Craft. I will miss him. He was always a joy to be around. And was always had some pretty good questions about the scriptures many times that I talked with him. It would be he who would bring up a question about the scriptures, and I always appreciated that about him. You can turn to Matthew chapter 5. I was going to talk about the temptations of the devil this morning, but last night the Lord changed my mind. And you know, I got run out of a woman's house one time for saying that. The Lord told me what to preach. I thought, my goodness. I mean, went and got her shotgun and run me out of the house. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Let's read. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. O our God, how we thank you for this wonderful Lord's Day. We ask you, O God, this morning to forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, and our failures. For we are a sinful people prone to wander from God. The God that we love, our old nature is always there, trying to lead us down the wrong path. We pray for your mercy and your help, O God, and increase our faith. We believe, O Lord, but help thou our unbelief. Grow us in your grace and strengthen us in the inner man. Cause us to stand strong and to be motivated by our affection and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause our desire for lost souls to send us out into the highways and hedges to declare the gospel and the true doctrines of the scriptures and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now this morning, O Lord, and enlighten your people's eyes and souls and minds that they may see the truth of thy word. And all those that this may go out to via sermon audio. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The doctrines of the scriptures are the doctrines of Christ. All of them. All the doctrines that we read about in the New Testament, whether it be Christ himself doing the speaking or whether it be his apostles, they are the doctrines of Christ. They didn't make up their own doctrines.
Right.
They preached what they heard the Lord Jesus preach to them.
That's right.
And they are all tasty and satisfying to the soul, mind, and faith of all his people. All the doctrines of the scriptures serve to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to magnify the grace of God. They explain the experience of the saints as they do in the previous verses 10 through 12. The doctrines taught in the scriptures are according to godliness, and they promote it.
Amen.
These doctrines are not just to be learned and taught, brethren, but lived faithfully with vigor and steadfastness, which these disciples and apostles did, which were good examples to the saints and a witness against the wicked. And when it says the earth, it means the inhabitants of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. It's not talking about the ground that we're walking on. It's talking about ye are the salt of the inhabitants of the earth. All of God's people are to be salt to all the inhabitants of the earth, or at least all of those that they come in contact with. They are to be salt. We'll explain and go a little more detail into salt as we go along. I declare unto you, brothers and sisters, we have a grave responsibility here to be sure we learn, live, teach, and witness before the world these great doctrines of Christ. As far as I'm concerned, it's putting it forth here when it says, ye are the salt of the earth. It gives us a grave responsibility. In verse 10 it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The first part of these Beatitudes are telling who the saved people are. All those that are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Meaning on that great and final day, we obtain mercy every day. But if you wake up in the morning, you obtained mercy. If you're able to draw a breath, you've obtained mercy. But you will really obtain it on that great and final day. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. These are attributes of all Christian people. Blessed are the poor in heart, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now you read all of those and read them regular and remember these are the attributes of a Christian. These are things that we do on a daily basis. These are things that we strive for that we come short of every day. But as Brother Thomas said in the first message, we better be pursuing them. If we're truly believers, we are pursuing them. And we pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and our failures in pursuing them as we ought and fulfilling them as we ought. But it's good to read them to remind us of what our duty is, what our responsibility is. Now, brethren, look at the condition of the professed church today. We have so long deserted the true doctrines of Christ. Look what has become of the church. Salt, as we know it, adds flavor to our food. And ye are the salt of the earth. He's talking to his apostles and his disciples and telling them that ye are the salt of the earth. This applies to every believer. Ye are the salt of the earth. And the only way that we are the salt of the earth is if we continue teaching and declaring the doctrines of Christ. Once you leave the doctrines of Christ, the old time doctrines, you're an obstructionist. You're a false teacher. You're a hinderer of those that would come to the Lord. No different than the Pharisees and the Judaizers. It has become a career for pastors. Their most important job is not to preach the doctrines of Christ and be salt to those they preach to and pastor. It is no longer to exalt the Lord Jesus and to magnify the grace of God. No, it is to keep their jobs and promote their careers by being what the people expect them to be. Keep large crowds coming by keeping the young people busy, happy, and satisfied, which keeps their money-toting parents coming to watch how great their children are. That's what it's become in the modern day churches, where they have big crowds. Now, brethren, we might not have any big crowds, but I'll guarantee you one thing: as long as I'm your pastor, I'm not going to compromise the Word of God just to get them.
Amen.
And that's what they're doing in modern day churches. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about the doctrines of Christ. They don't care about the souls of their people. They care about keeping the crowds coming by keeping the children happy, satisfied, and busy, so their parents will come and give their money. Any pastor who would let a bunch of young girls and ladies, excuse me, there must be a better word to use than ladies. Anyway, any pastor that would let a bunch of these get up in front of the church in a so-called youth choir with short pants on within an inch below their underwear ought to be take off his robe and whatever he wears and get into some other kind of work.
Amen.
And that's what happened at a local church. I mean a local church. In church, where they say they worship God and abide by the Scriptures. Now, what I'm preaching and teaching this morning is not contrary to what Brother Thomas Ray just preached about living peaceable with all men as much as is lieth in you.
Amen.
I'm not contradicting what he preached.
Amen.
Even though the old man in me would like to take some of them preachers out and do what the Bible says for me not to do, and that's lay hands on them swiftly. For allowing such a thing to go on in what they call the house of the Lord. The doctrines of the Scriptures are of godliness. And for young girls and young ladies or young women to get up in shorts within an inch of their underwear is not godliness. Let a woman dress with shamefacedness. It means cover up your flesh in a manner which honors Christ.
That's right.
Let the elder women be in behavior as becometh holiness. Teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. That means of a sound mind according to the Scriptures, self-controlling, curbing their desires and passions, temperate, chaste. That means pure from every fault, clean, keepers at home. Well, now, preacher, that's just not possible these days. Women have to work. They have careers. Yeah. You see what our nation's come to?
Amen.
You think that hadn't got something to do with it? You see how all of our children are on drugs and dope and alcohol and everything else you can imagine? How unruly. How many of of them do you talk to these days that'll say, yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am? No respect for their elders. Because they haven't been taught so. My own grandchildren, I have to remind, if I have to tell you again to say yes, sir, and no, sir to me, I'm going to beat the tire out of you. But it's not their fault. It's their mom and daddy's fault.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Good. That's another thing that the elder women should be teaching the younger women, keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2, 3 through 5. You can read it for yourselves. And it is the pastor's fault, the husband's fault, and the elder women's fault that call themselves Christians. And it is my fault. I've been a sorry pastor, husband, father, and example, and I'm ashamed of myself. Lord, have mercy and forgive me. Make me a better servant, dear Lord, till the day I die. Cause me to honor you, O God, our great God. Cause me to hunger and thirst after righteousness every day that I live. And forgive me where I failed you. Salt is also a preserver. Now, young'uns don't know that. But anybody that's my age and older understands and knows and remembers granddaddy killing the hogs, dipping them in a barrel of water, scraping them, saving every part of them. And the bacon that you ate had rind on it that was some kind of good to chew on. Save the intestine outer so that they could stuff their sausage in it and hang them in the smokehouse and smoke them. And the hams and the bacon, they rubbed down with salt. It was the only way to keep it. It was the only way to preserve it. The salt preserved it. Brothers and sisters, you are only salt if you are excited and motivated by an appreciation and a love to the Lord Jesus to teach and declare the old-time gospel. The old-time scriptural doctrines of the Lord Jesus to a lost and a dying world. Great is your reward in heaven, the Bible says, if you do this. That's what it said. Great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are they which persecute you for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Brethren, the modern day church is putrefied and stinks to the high heavens. When we stand before the Lord, what will He have to say about our motivation and desire to be a preserver of His doctrines. It's our fault that these modern day churches have come to what they've come to, and there's no preaching of the true doctrines of Christ anymore. They entertain the people, they keep the little children happy, they give them a 15-minute sermonette, and do not declare the true doctrines of Christ. 'Twas Christ that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. They sing the song, but they don't know what it means. It's grace that taught my heart to fear. In other words, I didn't have sense enough to fear God on my own. I was running the roads of sin. But I was kept in church whether I wanted to go or not. And through the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. To fear the judgment of God that was coming upon me. I'd done been baptized or ducked in the Legion Lake at 9 years old, dumb as a wedge. Because some preacher coaxed me into coming down the aisle during the revival because he wanted numbers. He wanted to be able to tell people how many was baptized and how many got saved during the revival. He's dead and gone, so I won't call his name. But there's a many a sorry preacher just like that. That'll coach a young'un to coming down the aisle. I pray the Lord shuts their mouths. Any way He chooses and desires. And I pray that God's people, and look, Calvinists are the world's worst. They're to blame more than anybody else. Sit in church and hear the gospel preached and the true doctrines, and they're taught them. And they may try to live them, but they're not going out and declaring them because people will hate them for it. They'll lose their family and they'll lose their friends. Christian lost his, but he said, I'm going yonder way.
That's right.
I'm leaving the city of destruction. If you people want to come, you can come with me. But I'm leaving this place because it's going to be destroyed.
That's right.
I'm going to the wicket gate and get this load, this burden off my back. For those of you at Sermon Audio who don't know, that's Pilgrim's Progress. It would pay you to read it. It would be very enlightening.
Amen.
To you on the journey of a Christian. And the next sermon I preach, Lord willing, will be on the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked, and the temptations that come our way, and how we're supposed to behave in them, and that if you do not behave, you'll go down the same slippery slope that Christian went on when he got out of the hodos. Ye are the light of the world. What the sun and the moon are to this earth with respect to corporal light, the apostles were to the inhabitants of this world concerning spiritual light. Because they carried forth the true light of the true gospel. And that's the only reason they were the light of this world. And that's what the Lord Jesus told them. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nazareth was set on a hill. Remember, they were going to throw Jesus down? off the cliff when he was in Nazareth? Capernaum was set on a hill. He could have been talking or referring to that one. But he was pointing out a true thing, that if ye are the light of the world, you cannot be hid. And the only reason you are the light of the world is because you're carrying forth the true doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are all the true doctrines that are in the Scriptures. All the doctrines that you've been taught here. We have not pulled any punches or hit anything. We've done our best to the best of our ability to give you the whole counsel of God and not withhold anything. You can tell by the numbers here. We used to have a lot more till we started preaching the doctrines of grace, and they fled like the plague had come to Zion. And that's okay. That's okay. And I'm not going to quit preaching the gospel if everybody leaves here. I'll go into the highways and hedges and the marketplaces and preach the gospel standing on a stool. For ye are the light of the world. Today this world, for the most part, is in such a darkness concerning the true doctrines of Christ as it ever has been throughout history. And I bear my portion of the blame. But dear Lord, let it not be so any longer. Brethren, declare the true doctrines of Christ everywhere you go as the Spirit gives you utterance. During the apostles' times, they turned this world upside down.
That's right.
By declaring the true doctrines of Christ. They only preached what they heard Him teach and preach Himself. And they turned this world upside down. Many, many Jews and Gentiles were turned from the darkness of Judaism and infidelism, of sin and infidelity, to marvelous light of the divine gospel, because they did not fail to declare it everywhere they went. Which in this day and time is all but lost. I'm telling you. As far as the population goes, it is all but lost. And much to their peril. But that did not stop them. Beaten, ridiculed, threatened, hated of all men, reproached, reviled, imprisoned, and killed, they marched on for the sake and the cause of their Redeemer. They truly had the faith to believe Christ Jesus was their personal Redeemer. Bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And they were looking forward to eternal life, where there would be no more sorrow. Because sorrow here they had. There'd be no more woe, for woe here they had. No more suffering and pain. But while they were here, they soldiered on, bearing the reproach of the Savior, just as He did while He was here, all the way till death. They soldiered on. They marched on. You see, He was their example. And they followed His example. all the things that the Lord Jesus suffered while he was here on this earth, they were willing and did bear also. And he asked them, can you bear that cross? Can you bear the suffering and the hatred of the world? Are you willing and able to bear all of that for the gospel's sake? For the kingdom of God's sake? Are you willing to do that? If we were, I believe the world would be in a little better shape than it is, especially our own communities, our own families. He obeyed his father and suffered all the reproaches and hatred of men. They obeyed Christ and suffered the shame and the reproaches of men till death. Have we done the same thus far in our lives? Matthew 10:22 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Are ye? Are ye? Those disciples and apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was dead, buried, and resurrected and ascended on high, they were hated of all men. All of those except those who, when they preached the gospel, heard and believed and come to the Lord Jesus in repentance. But all the others hated them, persecuted them, beat them, imprisoned them, slandered their names. That did not stop them. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. I ask you again. Are you bearing your cross? Are you declaring the gospel? Are you the salt of the earth? Are you the light of the world? Are you teaching the doctrines of Christ? Don't say, well, I'm not a preacher. It's not my place. Oh, yes, it is. If you're a Christian, it's your place. You have family and you have neighbors. You have people that you meet in different places. Oh, it's your place. I'll guarantee you, it's your place. It's every believer's place. He was talking to the apostles and his disciples here. But it's your place. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Blessed are ye. The same blessed as over there in Matthew chapter 5 describing Christians. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate from you or separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Excuse me. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Not because you call yourself a Christian, but because you declare the true gospel of the Lord Jesus and the doctrines of the Lord Jesus. That's why they'll hate you. That's why they'll cast you out from amongst their company. That's why they'll reproach you. I'm not telling telling you to try to go out and make enemies of people. Brother Thomas just preached that we are to be peacemakers. We're to live peaceably with all men, but not at the sake of forsaking the gospel.
Amen.
Because we'll be preaching the gospel in love for the elect's sake. And we don't know who they are. It don't matter how vile, wicked, dope-headed, drinking, wife-beaten, it doesn't matter what they do. They still may be the elect of God, lost in their sins, waiting for the Spirit of God to call them, and waiting for somebody to declare the true gospel to them, waiting for somebody to show some gumption and to be a real Christian and not be worried about what they may think. Jesus said, and that was in Luke 10:22. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know this. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Brethren, we have a grave responsibility set before us here to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world by declaring the gospel, declaring the true doctrines of Christ. We are to be sober and we are to be vigilant, steadfast in our commitment and dedication and appreciation for our Redeemer in being the salt of the earth and the light of the world by declaring the true doctrines of Christ and preserving those while we're here on this earth till we die our last day. Pappy Roberts, you ask the Lord's blessings on us, we'll be dismissed.